Congratulations on the release of your newest work, Andy. Quality Snacks, aptly titled. Although one could argue that there's a full meal in there, even dessert. Tell us about this collection.
Well, first, thanks, Zinta, for having me on. The collection is a group of short stories that I've been writing over a while. They're often about relationships. They're about mostly deluded men, either post-divorce or on their way to divorce. They have a wide array of occupations. There's a flavor engineer at Frito-Lay. There is a marketing director at a medical supply firm. So they're all sort of mostly Midwestern, mostly middle American, mostly middle-aged, and mostly very confused people.
Like most of us are. For those of you in Kalamazoo who may not know Andy, he is the author of the story collection The Woman We're Leaving the Men, which won the Great Lakes Colleges Association New Writers Award. His fiction has appeared in numerous magazines, including Tin House, Ecotone, Fence, The Southern Review, The Missouri Review, and he's received special citations in Best American Short Stories, Pushcart Prize, and News Stories from the Midwest. Andy is a professor of English at Kalamazoo College. Andy, this book is also a Michigan Notable book. What does that mean? What's a Michigan Notable book?
You know, I'm not totally sure if it is a Michigan Notable book. I am doing a reading as part of the Michigan Notable Book Tour.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think, April 23rd in Richland. But this book is just come out, or it hasn't actually come out yet. So
it comes out when? In May?
May 1st.
Okay.
So I hope it will become a Michigan Notable book. It is a notable book, and it's also in Michigan. But I'm not sure if it's received.
Hey, that works for me.
That special designation.
Yeah. So what is this tour, the book tour for Michigan Notable? Are you going to different cities? Is it all throughout Michigan?
That is based on, I'm sort of piggybacking at the invitation of Ron Rieke, who put together an anthology of work about the UP, actually.
Oh.
And I believe it's called Up North or something. It has North in the title.
Yeah.
And that book that Ron put together is a Michigan Notable book. And Ron has been generous enough to invite me to some of their readings.
Okay.
So that's maybe how I got associated with that.
Now, the book has also received other awards, and it's been a finalist, a semi-finalist. So here's your chance to toot your horn. What all is happening around this book? And we haven't even seen it yet until May 1st.
Enter it in some of the contests, the Flannery O'Connor contest, Mary McCarthy contest. So, Danzig and Elixir and a couple others. So it's been a finalist, a number of times, and, Wayne State was, nice enough to pluck it from the also-rans bin and, give it publication.
Yeah. So what's with the dogs, Andy? Are you afraid of dogs?
No, I am not. I'm very comfortable with dogs, and I would have a lot of them if I knew any dogs. I'm not personally acquainted with very many dogs, and we don't have any dogs, but I'm really good with them, actually.
Now, I'm asking that, obviously, because one of the stories is all about somebody with a fear of dogs. Can you kind of tell us about that one?
Oh, that's where that's going.
Yeah.
Well, now that character has a problem with dogs, yes. He is afraid of them. I think he finds them to be unpredictable, and in some way, they activate something about his approach to life that makes him uncomfortable.
Okay.
And the story is kind of unpacking what that's all about. And it's done through his relationship to four or five dogs in his life.
You're a wonderful storyteller, Andy. In fact, as we were coming to the radio station today, you started telling a story about how you abandoned your car in the grass with the doors open and the lights blinking.
Yeah.
And we went out there and I realized you were lying through your teeth.
Yeah.
Is that what makes a good storyteller, is that you tell a good lie?
I think so. I think hyperbole is fun and... it's very hard to take life straight, I think. And I think just to get through things moment to moment, I will just say things that are not the case. I hope always that whoever I'm with knows that I'm exaggerating a little bit.
Yeah.
But people don't often. I do get a
hey,
lot
you
of...
you got me.
I do get a lot of blank looks. I was running late, so that was... Emotionally, that's what I did when I parked my car. I really did sort of just abandon it and run, in a sense.
Didn't you go to law school for a moment there in time?
I did go to law school for a year. Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, correlation.
Oh, you think lawyers are liars? You know, lawyers can actually be very obsessed with truthfulness, and you get some real integrity obsessed people in law school.
That's true.
So
that's true.
They play both sides of the line there.
Yeah, it's a tease. I know some good lawyers. There's 15 stories in this collection, and each one, which is your style, I read your previous collection too, there's a quirk, a twist, a surprise.
Okay.
Do your stories, when you start writing them, do they start with the quirk, the twist, and then you build around it? Or are you writing a story and it's like, I want to give a little twist here?
I think it usually starts with the twist.
Okay.
You know, the story about Santa Claus as a baseball player, that first sentence just came to me. It was the bottom of the ninth and Santa was down 43-1. And, you know, that's really not something you can plan. You just sort of react to it and you try to rationalize it a little bit. So, and that's a way to kind of get out of the ordinary a little bit. I think fiction wants to blow things up or make things a little bit strange. So that's kind of how I do it. And that's actually what gets my imagination going, is something a little bit offbeat.
Yeah.
I have a lot of trouble simply looking at the life I'm leading or looking at the life other people are leading. And I see it's interesting. I get emotionally invested. I care. But somehow the writing process has to start from a different direction.
Yeah. And that's what makes your work unique. It makes it Andy Mozina. I think, you know, it's, I love that. I love waiting for those quirks. One isn't officially allowed to have a favorite child, but do you have a favorite child among these 15 stories?
You know, probably the most offensive story, Self-Reliance, has sort of a personal resonance because it's about being resilient, and it's about sort of often finding yourself on the wrong side of a situation and having to figure it out. And it's about embarrassment, which I think is probably... you have to deal with it at some point in your life and move on. And that character has a moment of, pretty abject embarrassment that he decides how he's going to think about it from then on. And it's, if he can hang on to that thought, I think it'll help him in his future life. So I have a lot of sympathy for that particular character, even though he is, a fairly abject person in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Now, you teach creative writing. How does teaching creative writing differ from writing?
I think that sometimes you bring your own problem-solving techniques into the classroom. And how I see particularly short stories and the problem of making a story. I read a lot about what other writers do to solve their stories. And I think that naturally I tend to teach out of the types of problems I've seen myself run into and how I've tried to deal with them. And I try to write a lot of different types of stories, some experimental, some very traditional, so that I can really try to teach to any student, because some students really want to do weird things or fantastical things, and some students are quite strong in realism and so forth. So I want to be ready for whatever they might try.
Yeah.
And so I try a lot of different things, and it does feed back into my teaching a little bit.
Yeah. How many bags of Doritos do you eat in a week?
You know, I've completely dropped them. I don't eat them anymore. It was an issue for a while, Zinta. And I'm on the other side right now, and I hope I can stay there.
I have a child who is who makes Doritos a meal instead of a quality snack.
Yeah, I mean, the MSG is an addictive substance. And when I was in college, I could easily buy a bag and just sit there and eat it. And that continued far longer into adulthood than it should have. And then I realized what was happening. And they had basically, it's an addictive substance. A Dorito is an addictive product.
So you work through your addiction by writing therapy, by writing a story about
Doritos? A little bit, yeah. That was right about the time that I decided to go cold turkey and really get off snack chips altogether. Huge turning point, Zinta. And I feel better. I feel fantastic right now.
Bungled love. Everyone loves a love story. Now, these, of course, have quirks, too. There's one that I thought was especially interesting, the non-sexual affair.
Yeah.
They kind of make a reader blush, because I think a lot of us, it's like, oh, he's telling the things that I don't want to tell.
Yeah, that story was another one that just came from this idea of a very uptight person who was just in a total dither about feeling this attraction for a woman when he was married. And it also kind of comes a little bit out of a certain type of, there's a little bit of satire of certain new agey attitudes towards relationships and friendships, which I feel bad about satirizing to some extent because I kind of believe in them.
Yeah.
But, so it was a real mixed bag, and I thought it was just something unusual that somebody would get really bent out of shape, and it's there's so many what do they call them, tropes, or so many things you're used to in terms of stories about affairs that I could play off of. And of course sex is the point of an affair, and that this character was all in a dither about a non-sexual affair just seemed kind of funny to me. But it also, I thought, maybe spoke to what male and female relationships are like in situations where people grew up making a lot more cross-gender friends, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe because professionally men and women are working together more. In college, they're doing the same majors, the same grad school.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was something, some social development I was trying to speak to there, I guess.
Yeah. So what kind of events do you have coming up? I assume there's going to be readings, and you have a new website, I believe?
I do have a website. That's andymozina.com, and there's a lot of great information there. I'm thinking of blogging about the book launch and the book tour. There isn't a lot going on in those areas, so a lot of my blog will be invented. It will be a made-up book tour. And so I hope people...
You just never know with this guy.
So there will be that. Be doing a reading at out in Richland, I believe, at the public library at 5:30 on April 23rd, I believe. And then at Kay College's bookstore on May 15th at 6 o'clock. Another reading at
I
Kay.
Think there may have been a confusion on the dates, because one of your co-authors, co-professors, Gene Hess, had posted May 14 or May 15, and it was actually 14th. It's on a Wednesday, correct? So anyway, check on Andy's website, andymozina.com.
It's listed
there. Or Kalamazoo College's
website.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, so I think there was a little mix-up with the dates. Anything new in the works, or is it too soon to ask? You've just launched this. Do you take a break between work, or?
No, I'm always writing something, and I do have a novel that I finished that's about a harpist in Chicago taking an audition, and that is pretty much as close to finished as I can make it right now.
So you're in the marketing stage
now? Yeah. So
hopefully we're rooting for you, so we can read it with a harpist with quirks, I'm sure. Do you have something you can read to us from one of your books so we can get a little flavor of these quality snacks?
Sure. I will read maybe just the opening half a page from a story called Windows Reflect Some Light. He was placing the sprinkler on his small front lawn when she got out of her two-tone Buick LeSabre at the curb and approached. "It's me," she said. She went right by him, up his porch steps and into his house, while he stood on the lawn. He had never seen her before. Through a window, he caught glimpses of her indistinct form, like a fish in turbid water. He stepped toward the window, its glass both reflecting light and letting it through. Then he leaned down, and through the bottom open half of the old double-hung window, he said, "I don't believe we've met." "I am who I said I was," she replied, "and that's all that matters." She threw her handbag and a thick, three-ring binder on his dining room table. He laughed to himself. He pressed three fingers against the window screen. "I don't think you're likely to be the type of person I can expect you to be." "And isn't that kind of exciting?" she called back.
Well, thank you, Andy. We've enjoyed talking to you, and I'm going to attend those readings and hear you read more.
Thank you so much, Zinta. It's really been fun talking to you.